In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. At the conclusion of our Holy Gospel this morning from St. Luke, our Lord says to the Samaritan, the leper who has been cured, who in recognizing that he has been healed by God, has returned to give thanks to God for the gift of healing. He says to him, "Arise and go your way, for your faith has saved you." We oftentimes, brothers and sisters, forget or neglect or simply have not known that the reality of faith is not only a gift given by God, but a conscious choice to choose God above all things. The Church teaches us very simply that to have faith is to cling to God above everything else in our lives. God, of course, bestows this great virtue upon us, but then we have to live in such a manner that the gift that has been given to us, this great gift of faith, can continue to grow in our lives. And of course, the question may then grow out of this in what way or what manner do we have faith? And ultimately, it's not faith in a thing or an idea or a concept. It is faith in a God who from first to last and always has shown himself worthy of our trust and our confidence in him, who has shown us time and time again of his desire to heal us and to make us whole, who has gone out of his way, including the very gift of himself, in order that we might have life and have that life abundantly. The question we have to ask ourselves truly and concretely is, why then do we falter in our faith? Why do we choose to cling to other things instead of choosing to cling to God? And this is not a rhetorical question. It's something we have to ask ourselves each and every single day as we look about how we go about our business and relationship with God. Are we men and women of a constant and fervent faith? Because with that faith then comes a lively hope. And with that hope then engenders in us a life of charity. And in this way, when we fail, which oftentimes we do, like the Samaritan, we can return to God first, having asked for his mercy, and then recognizing that we have received that mercy, return and give him thanks for that which he bestows upon us. But the world in which we live not only does no longer trust in God, believe in the promises of God, they have the temerity then to ask for mercy from him, but refuse to show that mercy to others. It is indeed a brutish and churlish and mean-spirited age in which we live. We openly excoriate people for the sins for which they are guilty and provide no mechanism by which they can be forgiven for those sins or make up for their faults and failings. And we heap abuse upon people who have sinned, forgetting and neglecting that we ourselves are sinners, and it is only by the grace of God that our sins have in some manner not become public, and yet they might, precisely because the world is somehow fascinated by weakness. Because in the weakness of others, unfortunately, we oftentimes believe we find our own power and our own strength. But nothing could be further from the truth. The secretiveness, if you will, of the sacrament of confession comes not, if you will, from some desire to withhold from the world the knowledge that they think that they deserve, but to provide the proper environment for us to truly evaluate ourselves before God and to be honest and naked in the admittance of our sinfulness. But then to recognize in that conversation that exists only between us and God, the priest is mediator. He is never allowed in any circumstance, in any situation, to even breathe what it is that he has heard in the confessional. In that manner, I can go before the Lord, kneel down, and cry out to him, "Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, a sinner." And each and every single time, the Lord bestows that mercy upon me. If that mercy that has been given to me does not bear fruit in my life, it is not because God's mercy is not powerful. It is because I have not properly disposed myself to receive the graces that God bestows upon me. I have lacked faith, trust, and confidence in the Lord. In truth, this is at the heart of the problem that Martin Luther had when he revolted against Holy Mother Church. He was an egregious sinner, acutely aware of his sinfulness, but could not understand how he could overcome his sinfulness when he went to confession week after week and his life never changed. He came to the wrong conclusion. He understood then grace doesn't really matter, or God isn't powerful enough, or the things for which I am guilty are more powerful than God's mercy, and all of those things are wrong and heretical. But sadly, he unleashed something that continues to destroy the fabric of human existence. This understanding in Protestantism that somehow I can stand before God by myself without any mediation. There is ultimately in that hubris, in that arrogance, a lack of trust in God, a radical dependence upon the Lord. We should always be in the posture where we are on our knees, afraid to look up to God, and yet knowing we must dare to do so and ask Him for His mercy. To stand before God face to face with pride in my heart as if somehow I am God's equal. That truly, brothers and sisters, is the road to perdition. That brings us to the very place in which we find ourselves in society, culture, and Holy Mother Church today. We struggle mightily, not only because of our sinfulness, but precisely because we refuse to go to the One, ask Him for mercy, and then in the reception of that mercy, to return and give thanks, and all of this bound and held together in a life of faith. You must choose God first. Last, always, in each and every single moment, most especially in those moments that will cost you something, that will require a sacrifice from you, that might separate you from your brothers and sisters, family and friends, you still must have faith. This is not an easy task. It was never going to be an easy task. It was difficult for Adam and Eve before they sinned to keep faith with God, and they did not. They were disobedient. They did not trust in Him. And we, the inheritors of the great sin for which they are guilty, continue to struggle. But we have one greater than God, or we have something greater than Adam and Eve and their weakness. We have the strength of God, most especially in the most holy Eucharist. But the question truly that we always have to ask ourselves is, do I believe these things? And if the answer is yes, I truly do believe, am I then willing to be governed by these beliefs that I adhere to? And the only one ultimately that can hold you accountable to that is you yourself. In the quiet recesses of your heart, as you each and every single day look to God and seek to purify your intentions and set your life before God as you examine your consciences each and every single time before you go to confession. Do I live convicted in my faith? Sadly, I think for all of us, the answer is not to the degree that we know we ought. And certainly not to the degree that we can, given the abundant graces that God bestows upon us. But as St. Paul exhorts Timothy, we should never grow tired of doing good. Instead, we remain steadfast. And if we can run to the Lord with arms wide open to receive grace from Him, then we should do so. And if we have to limp toward the Lord or crawl on the ground on our bellies to reach His feet, we should likewise do the same. It is always to be better searching for God, being with God, seeking God, than to in some manner try to go my own way and do my own thing. That will get you nothing. Sadness, heartache, and sin. And so pay heed. The Lord, if you go to Him, wants to heal you. If you cry out to Him, He will bestow mercy upon you. Your disposition then should be this radical trust in Him, this constant faith in Him, but also a heart full of gratitude, especially as we enter into the Holy Sacrifice of Mass, which is the greatest act of thanksgiving the human person could possibly enter into. There is nothing on earth that can come close to what it is that we are doing at this precise moment. To come forward and to kneel down and to receive the living God is to pledge yourself to this life of trust and faith and confidence. Which is why always with trepidation and cautiousness, if we are not prepared and willing, then we should simply not receive. Because we are committing ourselves to something greater. In that commitment, God will give us that which we need, but we pledge to use that which He bestows upon us. But in all of this, brothers and sisters, bound and held together by love, The Lord never abandons. The Lord never gives up on us. The Lord never tires of us. And so we too should never tire of striving to be in deep and abiding relationship with him. And so get up, be on your way, for it is indeed faith that will save us all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.